I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. One of my favorite reads online is The Savvy Insider. It's a terrific newsletter you can read on their website at savvyinsider.ca, or you can read it in your email, which I do. You can subscribe to it on their website. I like the restaurant reviews. There's a regular feature called Cheap Appetite where we read about affordable eating in Vancouver. There are product reviews, the watching of trends, and more. If you're interested in sales, there are alerts as well. The Savvy Insider's editor, George Froelich, joins me now. He is a veteran journalist and television executive. We'll check in today about some of the recent stories on The Savvy Insider, as well as catch up with George, his recent travels, and other things on his radar. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, George Froelich. Good morning, Mr. Froelich.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. You know, I looked up the calendar, George, and you haven't been on since December of 2009.
That's Oh, my God. I was sort of thinking about that earlier. I thought, well, it's about once a year I appear.
Yeah, and we should do it. We should do this more, you know, more frequently.
Sure.
And I apologize for that. The government has just fallen in Ottawa. Do you do much political discussion on the Savvy Insider?
No, not at all. I'm very much interested in politics, but no, the Savvy Insider does not cover politics.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of what your readers are interested in?
Well, they're interested in, they love recipes. I just sort of started on Mondays now, focusing in on recipes, and that's getting good readership. They love restaurant reviews. They really like when we tell them what they can do on the weekend, because you know what happens on the weekend. The inevitable question comes, well, what are we going to do on the weekend? So that's a very popular feature. We used to cover movies, don't do that anymore. That wasn't very popular. So those three things that I just mentioned, they're about the most popular things right now. We have a way of tracking, you know, how many hits we get on certain items through all our various venues, like we're on Facebook, Twitter, the Internet, and the newsletter, and we know exactly what is of interest to people. We started following doing that about 3 months ago.
And you started this, what, three years ago now? How long has it been?
Yeah, actually, you know, in April, it's going to be 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look back to when you started it, what was the goal? And have you gotten there?
The goal was, it's an interesting story. I broke my leg, not bedridden, but house-ridden for
right.
about a year. And I thought, you know, I saw things like in the United States, that were daily candy that was very popular, and I thought, well, why don't I start something similar to that in Canada, and that's the objective. And the objective was just to put interesting stuff together in the newsletter, and that was my only objective at that point. It's going to change a bit. We're going to start putting ads in once I find somebody who can sell them for me, but my objective always has been just to put out something interesting and unique and different.
And they're succinct, they're quick, they don't take a long time to read.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we revamped the newsletter recently to so you can see at a glance what's on it, because the previous version, people were in the readership survey we did, they indicated they wanted to be able to glance very quickly what are the five items that we carry daily, what are they about, and then they can decide whether they're going to go for them or not.
I told you already that I'm a big fan of the Cheap Appetite feature.
Yep.
And I tried pronouncing the person's name. I won't even try. Who does that?
It's a gentleman by the name of, he's a Thai. He's worked in the advertising and graphics industry all over the world, and he moved to Vancouver, I guess, about 2 years ago. And I saw his blog one day, and so I approached him. I said, look, why would you like to do something for us every 2 weeks? And so he does, and very popular, and basically he finds restaurants and places to eat at that are really, really cheap and good, and it's quite popular. People like it.
Yeah, I do enjoy reading it, because one always looks for a bargain, I guess, and some of the places that he's been to are places that I've heard of maybe, but have never been to, and so to get that experience.
Well, you know, Joe, in this day and age, you know, with the recession that we had and we're slowly coming out of it, I think there's been a whole change in people's attitude towards restaurants.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you've seen some, like Lumiere and DB Moderne, they just closed. And I don't think, like, and people want, they want less expensive food, they want great flavors and great service, and there's a lot of restaurants in Vancouver that are filling that niche, and I don't think Vancouver is big enough to really support the top-notch, super expensive restaurants. You go to a place like New York or London or Paris or any of the major world cities, yes, you can have those restaurants, but in Vancouver, that's not what's in.
One restaurant that I've been going to a lot in the last couple of months is Joey's. On Broadway. There's one downtown, I guess there's one in Burnaby. And I think that that's something, that's an example there of it looks nice, it's not expensive, and, you know, it's a fun place to go to, and it's dark, and it's sort of modern looking, so it's sort of elegant, but it's not overly expensive. Have you been to Joe's?
That's the type of restaurant, and I think the other thing you'll notice if you go there, you can go to any of their locations, you'll find the food is the same quality.
Yeah.
And that's the real key in the success of places like Joey's and the Cactus Club and sort of the chain restaurants, for want of a better word. And they're always upping the ante in terms of trying to make their foods more successful and better tasting. And the Cactus Club is a perfect example. I mean, with Rob Feeney coming aboard, I remember I went there years ago when he was testing his food out in the West Broadway, which is the restaurant, and it's also the restaurant where they try new things, and he tried new things there, and we had them, and I waited for a year till they came out in the in other Cactus Clubs, and it was amazing. They were the same taste, very, very good, not overly expensive, and the decor of a lot of the Cactus Clubs is quite pleasant. You get good service, and that's what people are looking for. That's the essence of a good restaurant. You have consistent service, you have great food, and it's reasonably priced. And any restaurant that achieves that, and by the way, that's very, very difficult to do, is going to be successful.
Now, other than the cheap appetite feature, you do restaurant reviews yourself, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You recently went to the Acme Cafe on Hastings?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I've quite enjoyed going to that place. I've been there about, I don't know, 3 times in the last 2 months.
Well, that's a perfect example. I went there with a friend, and I think lunch was about $23, $24. It was around noon. As you know, it's on East Hastings. It's not exactly the best location, but that whole neighborhood is undergoing tremendous changes. And by noon, the place was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And what they serviced, the service was good, was friendly, the food was very tasty, and the price was right, and it's what they specializes in comfort food.
Yeah.
So how can you go wrong if you meet all of those criteria that I talked about earlier? And so it didn't surprise me that the place was jam-packed at 12.
Another recommendation I have you been to Meat and Bread?
No, I haven't, but I tell you one thing, that's definitely on my list.
Yeah, it's just great. I don't know how healthy it is if you have it every day, but the sandwiches are just tremendous. When you do a restaurant review, on your website, on the Savvy Insider, what is the goal? And I ask this because there's an article in the Georgia Street, which I've mentioned to you already, by Michelle Da Silva, about sort of people in the restaurant industry and what they think of social media, what they think of bloggers, what they think of online reviews.
Well, my objective is to find something that's a good restaurant that I would say to myself, okay, I'm going to go back to that place. Food is good, service is good, the price is right, and let people know about it so they can check it out. And in the terms of the readership survey we did, there's a lot of trust factor involved. That's so that when I write something, you know, I don't get paid for it. I write about it honestly as much as I can, based on my knowledge of food, and that's the objective. And I don't write up about restaurant reviews where I've gone to places that are just terrible. In other words, I remember going to several places that I thought were going to be good neighbors so bad, so I don't even bother writing about this, because I just don't think there's any value to be served by writing up a restaurant that's bad. But I think what you should do is, when you go to a restaurant that you recommend, that if certain things, you know, don't quite pan out, or if something is going on, then you should make a note of that and let people know about it. So you're giving them a context of what's going on, and they need the balanced perspective and need to get the whole story.
And you write
like journalism.
Yeah.
I mean, restaurant reviews are like good journalism. You try to be balanced and objective about it, and you have some knowledge about the subject that you write about.
Yeah, and you write for an audience that's looking for something new. You have a specific audience, and that you're not trying to be, say, I don't know, Jamie Ma when he was at Vancouver Magazine or Alexandra Gill in the Globe and Mail, right? Or are you?
Yeah, well, our audience is fairly sophisticated. Again, the readership survey we did shows they're well-educated. They know what they're talking about. But they're not the type of audience that wants to go out and, you know, blow $300 or $400 on a dinner with very expensive wines. And they might do that, you know, on a special occasion. But, you know, generally speaking, I would say the middle of the road, they know what's going on, and they want to be told about it, and be told about it in an objective, honest way.
Are there sites online that you use in terms of say, you're thinking of going to a restaurant maybe, or you read restaurant reviews online?
Oh, yes, I do, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that, I mean, when you go to them, you obviously think they're useful. Do you think there's stuff out there that's not useful?
Well, let me give you an example. I did a restaurant review of a tapas place on Davie Street, right? I really liked it, had been there a couple of times, wrote a review, and was quite complimentary about it. And then I read another review of the same restaurant on one of Vancouver's better-known blogs, and the person was totally negative about it. And look, I don't have a problem if some of these food bloggers don't like a restaurant. They might say it's too expensive, or they don't like the certain food combinations and stuff like that. But a lot of them, unfortunately, don't know what they're talking about. And in this particular case, this particular reviewer complained about the fact that he thought the plates were too small, the portions. Well, I mean, if you know anything about tapas, tapas means small plates,
right,
in Spanish. So you don't get your traditional order, but they slam the restaurants for that. And so I responded to that saying, okay, well, you are entitled to your opinion, but when you say things like, you know, the plates are too small, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, lo and behold, somebody responded by saying, well, what's the matter with you? Criticism is allowed, and do you work for the restaurant? Is that why you were so positive in your review? And I sent a note back saying, look, you can slam me for whatever you want in terms of what I wrote, but please don't put, you know, motives in my mouth about the fact that, you know, do I work for the restaurant? I mean, you know, in this day and age, people should be entitled to their opinion. Now, some opinion is more informed than others, and unfortunately, a lot of the bloggers also play little, what I call silly beggar games, and I've been told that they'll go to a restaurant and say, I'll do a good review on your restaurant, you know, if you give me X number of free meals and stuff like that. And that's something, you know, that on a lot of pages like Twitter and Facebook and some of these social websites, you don't hear about, and people know about it because, to some extent, and this is what I see as one of the problems with the social media, Twitter and Facebook, you know, everything is wonderful, everything is great. If you notice, you'll hardly ever see anybody being critical of anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. A restaurant opens, and all the bloggers blog about it, how great it is. And what's interesting then, when you get together with some people on a social basis, they will tell you, well, that isn't very good, and that isn't very good. Well, you wouldn't know that by reading all, if you believed everything you read on Facebook and Twitter about restaurants. And I think that's a bit unfortunate. And believe it or not, Alexander Gill of the Globe and Mail, I think, does a very good job of covering the restaurant industry. And she certainly, you know, she tells it like it is. Now, you don't always have to agree with her, and she's got a certain perspective. But at least you don't have to worry about that, you know, the restaurant might have given her $100 to write a positive review or something. And I'm told that that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, so the reader must be circumspect, I guess, right?
Definitely when you're looking at food blogs. So I think what you need to do is look at the food blog on a consistent basis. I know of one blogger, all he ever does is write about how wonderful it was, this was great and this was great and blah. I don't ever recollect that person saying anything negative about anything. So it makes you wonder whether they're, besides reviewing that particular restaurant, whether they're actually working and tweeting or putting up Facebook items on behalf of the restaurants. And I know some bloggers do that. And I think that's a clear-cut conflict of interest. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
You can do it, but then you've got to disclose it.
Disclose it, yeah.
Yeah.
And what I like about Alexandra Gill is that she's willing to be vicious. And
yes. And you know what? We don't have, you know, I mean, if you looked at the New York restaurant review scene, there's lots of bloggers there who don't play the game of everything is wonderful and everything is terrific. They just go after restaurants, and I think that's the way it should be. If they're not doing something right, you know, and stuff like that, then the public has the right to know. I mean, it comes down to the trustworthiness of the blogger, because I know that on the readership survey we did for the Savvy Insider, we had lots of people tell us that, you know, they've gone shopping at places, they've gone to restaurants, so when they read the stuff, you know, they believe what they read. And I certainly don't want to be put in the position that I recommend something and then all of a sudden, you know, I get 10, 20 people telling me, what are you doing? That certainly wasn't true.
Now, you used to run the old Channel 13
yes.
on West 2nd there. The newscasts in this part of the world, they've changed a great deal over the last year or so.
Right.
Any thoughts on what's happening there? I mean, is the one channel that's always been in the lead, is they're still in the lead, Channel 11, Global?
Yeah, Global is still in the lead. CTV has brought in a new anchor team to Margaret Taggart and Mike Colleen, and, you know, I actually hired Mike Colleen as an anchor when I was at Channel 13. I think that they're both very, very good, but I think the odds are against them of, you know, ever making any inroads on Global, and I think Global is in trouble for down the line, because what's happening is the audience is getting older and older, and with all the technology changes like the iPad and the iPhones and the fact that you can now, the mobility of telephones that are like mini computers, you can watch your newscasts on there, is against the audience regenerating itself, and it has never, it's not happening anymore, and so down the line, you're going to find the audience is shrinking and shrinking at Global, and not going to get any bigger. And remember you and I having the conversation about this when CBC hired Tony Parsons, and
right.
He asked me the question, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I think what's going to happen is the ratings are going to go up, and there's going to be a bump. People are going to be curious, and they're going to be right back where they started from, and that's exactly what happened. So the notion that bringing in a big personality and to bump up the ratings, which used to be the case years and years ago, is no longer true. And, you know, even if you bring in a good team like Tamara Taggart and Mike Colleen and Michael Foose, the new weatherman there, I don't think it's going to make any difference. And Pamela Martin and Bill Good Jr. were one of the last attempts to take some big stars from, in the case it was CBC and from BCTV, and bring them to CTV Vancouver in the hope that the ratings would go up. And I said at that point to the person who made the decision, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get a big rating increase. And despite them being paid all the mega bucks they were paying them, it didn't happen.
When we have a market like we do, just look at 6 o'clock and how competitive it is. Are we better served because it's so competitive?
Well, you know, the news, I mean, as you know, I used to be in the news business. I don't watch it anymore. I'm on my computer. I get email alerts. I can watch stuff on my iPhone and things like that. And so when I watch the 6 o'clock news, there's nothing really there that I find interesting. However, if there's a big news event like the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan, or a major news event, or the Libyan airstrikes, then you go to a place like CNN, you watch for the breaking news, and that's exactly what happens. CNN does a tremendous job at that, and whenever that happens, their ratings go through the roof. That's when I will go and watch TV. And you know, it's the same thing with newspapers. Our local newspapers are terrible. They don't give you any perspective. The one newspaper that I really like is the Globe and Mail. Give you an example. They were talking about the election the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, the Sun and the Province and most newspapers would tell you, oh, an election is imminent. The Globe and Mail had a front page story that basically told you the market, that the political parties are going to be after in this upcoming election campaign are going to be the older people. And you know why? Because older people vote. Now, that was an interesting perspective, and they backed it up with facts, and I thought, well, you know, they're giving me the news, and they're giving me some context that I can't get anywhere. And that's what you know, increasingly the media has to do. And the same thing is true about the 6 o'clock news. How many times do they give you a story that's been on the internet all day, you've heard it on the radio, you've gotten email alerts? So by 6 o'clock, do I want to know that so-and-so has said such and such? Tell me why they've done it, you know, or what are the reasons behind it, or why did this happen? Now, that's going to take a lot more time and effort and money, and in this day and age, that's simply not going to happen. So I think it's a recipe for a long, drawn-out death, I think, of certain media properties.
George, it's good to chat again. There's more we could talk about. We could talk all day. Let's do it again soon. And the last time you were on, you invited me to lunch, and I haven't taken you up on it. We will do lunch soon.
Okay, let me know when you're ready.
Thanks very much, George. The website is savvyinsider.ca. The Savvy Insider's editor, George Froelich, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.